Thank you, Karen. And that's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And it's only a short psalm, but let's just pray as we start. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word here. Thank you that it's a light to our path and our guide. Please would you lead us as we look at your word now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at that psalm. It's page 576, if you want to turn that up as we follow, or as you follow. Have you been watching the cycling? It's great, isn't it? I love it. It's absolutely fantastic. Bradley, what a star, eh? He's hilarious. I don't know how he gets away with it. But so many like Bradley, because he's not your ordinary athlete, is he? He's not your usual PC media savvy front man at all. Bradley says it the way it is, doesn't he? And a lot of us really associate with that. And you know, this psalm is a bit like that, if it's not too irreverent to say so. That David just says it the way it is. There's no preamble. There's no faffing around. David just gets stuck in straight away. Save me. Hear my prayer. Listen to me. Lord, I'm in a mess. I need help. Well, David's in hiding at the minute. He's incognito, hiding like an outlaw in the hills with a posse of disaffected people. He's holed up amongst a group of people called the Ziphites. Don't worry about that. But news has got out to the leaders of the Ziphites, and they send a delegation to Saul to tell him that the man you're looking for is here. David's in our area. Betrayed. And so Saul gets going and he pursues David. And they're chasing him round this mountain. David's on one side, Saul's on the other. So what does David do when he's up against it, when he's disillusioned, when he's betrayed, when he's becoming potential prey for his enemies? Well, the one who's prey prays. Verse 1 and 2, save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. It's a prayer from the guts, isn't it? From right down deep there. Who's he praying to? He's praying to the one who can save. By your name, he prays. Meaning by your very nature, Lord. Because God's name characterizes his nature. So what is the nature of God revealed by his name? Well, he's God Almighty. He's El Shaddai. He's the God who is his strongest when his people are at their weakest. The Bible's full of this kind of God, this El Shaddai, helping the helpless when it seems impossible. And he's able to help David when his back's up against the wall. And he can help us too. So let's pray to this El Shaddai, this God Almighty, who's our strength when we don't feel it, when we feel weak, when we feel helpless. And it's worth mentioning that it's not prayer in itself that helps, but it's the God to whom we pray. The God who is at the strongest when we are at our weakest. Prayer. You know, what jumps into your mind when you think of prayer or you mention prayer? Is it getting up at 5 a.m. in the morning? Is it being eloquent as we pray? Way too busy, perhaps. Or way too tired. Or both. Falling asleep. Not knowing what to say. Your mind wandering to the shopping. You know, this is only a short psalm. Prayer doesn't need to be long. And it can take place any time of the day. And we often think that we need to be eloquent. We need to be up at 5 a.m. for God to hear us. And we hear of people who do that occasionally. And we're in awe of them like some sort of superhuman or super spiritual being. But it's not like that at all. Just set aside some time. Just shoot up a prayer during the course of the day. And that's what we need to do. Will you do that? Just begin to think about the Lord and set just a bit of time aside within the day, whenever that is. Will you try it this summer? You know, nothing fancy. Just have a go. And David did that, but especially when under the hammer. That's when we need and feel the need to prayer, isn't it? To pray. When we're under the hammer in life. And sometimes those neat little formula for prayers, you know, they've just got to be ditched. You know, patterns are good. Patterns of prayer are good, like the ACT. What is it? Adoration, confession. What's the T stand for? Thanksgiving, thank you. And S, supplication. They're good. But sometimes, in emergencies, we need to ditch those and just jump straight in the deep end. And so David does that, doesn't he? He jumps into prayer, setting out his situation. This is what's going on, Lord. Save me. Oh God, by your name, vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For the insolent have risen against me. The ruthless seek my life. They do not set God before them. These people are after me. They don't care about anything else. God isn't even in their thinking. Now, I'm guessing that you're probably not being pursued by a band of people intent on killing you. But I tell you what, some people are facing pretty ruthless management styles at work these days. And it seems more and more prevalent in the world of work as our target and evidence-driven culture sees nothing but bald figures rather than the work of human beings needing encouragement and support as they do demanding jobs. And it's happening in every area of work. Without God, there's no moral restraint at all. And sometimes it feels like we are under siege, like David. In life, in work, maybe at home and in family too. It's just tough. Nowhere to go. So what does David do as he prays through this in verse 3? For the insolent have risen against me, the ruthless seek my life, they do not set God before them. And then there's a little pause, it says, Selah. Stop! Effectively, enough of this. And he pauses. Stop. Let's think about it. They don't consider God worth knowing or even refer to him in life at all. They're practical atheists. However, I do, verse 4. But surely, God is my helper. Meaning, he's on my side, so to speak. They don't consider God, but I do, because he's my helper. Why? Well, the Lord is the upholder of my life. Continuing in verse 4. The Lord here actually means sovereign one. He knows what's going on. He can and is able to deliver. You know, when we feel inadequate in situations which overwhelm us, God becomes our adequacy because he promises to be with us. And David recognizes that here. Lord, the sovereign one, is the upholder of my life. Do we recognize that? That he's the upholder of yours and my life. Do we really? The sovereign one. You know, what does that exactly mean? Well, the sovereign one has forward plans. We call it his sovereign providence, his forward planning. And it's utterly amazing. Because his forward planning actually takes account of my errors, of your errors. That's why we can trust God to be my helper. As Alec would say, it's like a sat-nav. When we take a wrong road, it recalculates the route and gets you on track again. Our errors are incorporated into God's sovereign forward planning. Can you get your head around that? And so if we're truly his, then we're totally safe. Even when we make mistakes, even when we face difficulties and problems in life. But surely, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. I don't know about you, but I think I'm just scratching the surface in this walk with God. What about you? And David continues to pray, he, God, will repay my enemies for their evil. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. You know, evil and sin, it has that kind of boomerang effect, doesn't it? It comes back. Proverbs says, those who sow trouble reap trouble. And that's so often true, isn't it? That those who would plan evil have it recoiling back on their own heads. But here the justice is delivered by God, not us. And I suggest that's the best place to leave it to. And that's really difficult, isn't it? Especially when we feel we're in the right and that we're justified in complaining and that a wrong has been done or taken place. So carry on. Not as an act of our own will, but because God is able to protect. He's able to give peace in the midst of that storm. Whether it's of others' making or of circumstances which just seem to come flooding down upon us. And our best example comes from Jesus himself, utterly trusting his heavenly Father. Never reviling others because he knew his Father was with him. And he is with us too. But surely God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. Our covenant God, our promising God, has pledged to bring us through, never breaking his promises. Even when we feel that we're under the hammer, even when we're crushed and despondent, he will deliver. This is our Redeemer, taking our burdens as his own, paying our debt and bearing our sin. And what's our response? Well, verse 7. With a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. David's response is devotion and worship. Is that ours? When God answers prayer, when he helps us and delivers us, is it devotion and worship? Or is it indifference and apathy? Or, oh, that was a coincidence. Oh, that was lucky. What should we do as we see the Lord help through these difficulties in life? Does it deepen our love and trust and devotion to him so that we determine to follow him more closely? And how should that help us view our future, the unknown ahead? Well, he'll take us through that too. So let's pray like this psalm with that honesty and simplicity of faith in our almighty, sovereign God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you that you know all about us. Just thank you, Lord, that when we feel inadequate, you are our adequacy. That you promise to be with us. To never leave us or fail or forsake us. Thank you that you are the sovereign one who forward plans. Nothing catches you on the hop. Nothing is a surprise to you. Oh, help us, Lord, to trust you, to walk with you, to be devoted to you. Oh, forgive us for our lukewarmness, Lord. Please, would you stir us up by your Spirit to live for you, trusting in the Sovereign One, our Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen.